Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Much like the covers gracing her next victim, Mia Khalifa, Barry has uncovered the rest of the story.
I found out. So what happened with Joel Embiid is he posted a picture of him with Ben Simmons and Nerlens Noel and I think Meek Mill. I don't know. It was four dudes. And he just put the Daltons. And he put it on Instagram. And then Mia goes in and takes a copy of it and posts it and said, "A room full of L's," which is pretty savage in and of itself. And then, so she posted that, and Joel Embiid goes into the comments section and says, because hers was room full of L's, and he posts, says the woman with a mile of D. And then she took that, screenshotted the whole thing, and tweeted and said, "Lesson learned, don't mess with the Sixers." So she pretty much gave up. Like, he won.
He's really a sharp dude.
He is. And they were talking about in the article how he's pretty much owned social media. So, yeah, there's some folks, man, it's like Josh. It's like Josh on Twitter. That dude, don't mess with him. He will Photoshop you doing crazy things. And, yeah, there's some dudes.
Did you call in recently, or are you talking about El Jefe?
Be nice.
You went all formal with, it's like Josh, and everybody's going, who?
Yeah, that's true.
But if
true.
You said El Jefe, everybody would have dialed right in.
Yeah. Dub even texted in, Embiid destroyed Mia, case closed.
Isn't today the day, by the way, that El Jefe is in class, so he can't.
I don't know.
Because we haven't gotten anything from him today.
All texting, no tweeting, said, "Do y'all know where VY will be playing? I'm just hoping to slip into a TGI Fridays for free dinner."
It's a great call. I still love the undercover listener that gives us the text message with the information people want to know.
Right.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Props to you. And I was wondering if you guys saw this. And again, I hate to beat a dead horse. And I think I was, and this show was one of the first, if not the first, to say, look, would you at least consider Romo? And that, would Romo be the guy that could help this team? And then everybody kind of jumped on that.
At least this isn't about Oakley.
No, I'm done with that. Because that's resurfaced again today.
And then we got to be done with Romo.
Yeah. So here's the thing. ESPN does a thing where they pull their so-called experts and ask pertinent questions about players and teams and where they may end up. First is, where is Adrian Peterson going to be playing next year, Minnesota or elsewhere? Most people now saying, regardless of the teams that he had pinpointed before, that the Vikings will probably have to part ways with him because of the $18 million salary cap, and that the Giants now would be the leading candidate. And as bad as the Giants' running game has been and was, that's a pretty good fit, I think.
Yeah, not bad.
And then we get to the boys on Kirby.
Mm-mm.
The question, and it was very generic, where will Tony Romo be suiting up in 2017? Matt Bowen, NFL writer, Houston makes the most sense given the lack of productivity from Osweiler and the amount of talent and speed the Texans have at the offensive skill positions. Pair that with an upper-tier defense, and I can absolutely see the rationale. However, I still wonder about Romo's value at this point. Is he worth the investment given the injuries? Dan Graziano, national NFL insider, Houston, assuming he's released, as I expect he will be. Texans need another option. Osweiler hasn't done it. Romo, if healthy, and again, those are big ifs, would be the guy for them. Mike Sandow, NFL senior writer, Denver and Houston. Kevin Seifert. Any pursuit of Romo must be prepared for him to play less than 16 games. With that said, Texans make the most sense. And Field Yates, NFL insider, with one of those names of a kid with a silver spoon, says, I'll echo others and select the Texans.
So pretty much nothing's changed. Everyone that's ever talked about this has said Denver and Houston make the most sense.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And from a standpoint of Jimmy Garoppolo,
this is another thing that infuriates me, is everyone's out there clamoring for Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Texans are always dropped in that mix because of the ties back
to
New England.
That's what I was going to say, which was the good thing.
Well, most people are saying, the Texans should go get Garoppolo.
Now they're saying Cleveland and Chicago, because they both need quarterbacks and realize the draft doesn't have anything that can help them quickly,
right,
with quality. So those are the two leading the charge there. The other thing is that the Patriots are going to be asking a hefty price. Not sure they're going to get it, but because of the less than stellar class coming in from college, the value will go up to where they think they're going to get more. And they keep thinking a deal with Cleveland involving the 12th overall pick makes the most sense. If you're the Patriots and you drafted this guy in the second round and you get a top 12 pick for him,
jeez,
that's return on investment.
That's how they stay. That's how they stay good.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're able to flip stuff like that and turn it into something. But, you know, the thing is if I'm the Patriots, what do you think you got? 3 years left with Brady?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that, too.
Why would you do that?
You know,
I mean,
Deion
you look
Sanders,
at how Aaron Rodgers hung in there behind Favre. You're talking about somebody that, if done right, and if he's as good as people keep alluding to, what if you're letting the next Aaron Rodgers walk out the door because you were trying to get a number one pick?
Savvy enough when they see it to go, like Green Bay was. As good as Favre was, it was push comes to shove, and they just decided, we can't let this guy get away. He's that good.
But you're not doing that with Brady. I mean, Favre and Brady, for
right,
as good as both
right.
of them are,
absolutely
there's
right.
still a pretty good amount of separation between those guys. So you're not just going to like push, you know, Brady out the door or let him walk. He's going to retire a Patriot.
Yeah.
But when you've got a guy that you think might be an answer that people are willing to trade a top 15 first round pick for, somebody's got to be thinking, you know, maybe we should just keep this guy and groom him. And he may end up being the highest paid backup.
Because being in that Green Bay situation and being able to transform from Brett Favre and transition eventually to Aaron Rodgers means you're going to stay relatively good for a long period of time. If you can go, if Garoppolo's the real deal, and you can go from Brady to Garoppolo and find a way to hang on to him,
yeah,
you have
I don't
a better
know why
you would
chance
get rid of staying as an upper echelon team. And you got to believe the people in the Patriots organization can see that, realize that, and do that. Because I was going to say, Deion Sanders was saying right after, is this the game that Brady rides off into the sunset? He ends up a winner. He walks away after his last shot like Michael Jordan. He's gotten all the awards. He proved himself to Roger Goodell. He got to stick it in his face, and he can walk away. And everybody looked at him like, are you really asking that question? But then they started thinking about it. But then I started thinking about it, and you hear about how well he takes care of himself. Everything he monitors, everything he eats and drinks, and doesn't go off the, you know, to the junk food and all that other stuff. And he's every year, if he didn't have enough motivation by himself, there seems to be external motivation that keeps him going. I think 3 might be even a little light. I can see this guy trying to push it to like 44, 45 years old, as long as he's playing at this level. But again, like you were saying earlier,
all the time
on other things,
is how the saying goes.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you walk away before they tell you it's time.
Yeah,
because you're still playing at an elite level. I think you're right. I think the window's probably 3 years.
I would suspect that be the case. I mean, he had a hell of a year. He shows no signs of slowing down, but he's going to be 40 soon, and I think that's when you'll start to see it. And I think Brady has enough pride that he's not going to want to go out like Peyton did, where he's
Good
just
point.
A shell of him former self. They're winning, and despite Peyton or Brady, not it, you know, because of. I don't think that's Tom Brady's MO, and he doesn't have to do that. I mean, he has nothing to prove. He's the greatest on the planet. He gets to set the tone of when he walks away. Peyton was chasing another ring. Let's be honest.
Yep.
He really was chasing another ring. Brady doesn't have to, and I don't know that I would get rid, because who are the Patriots? They're going to be good. Probably as long as Brady plays. So they're not going to have a top 15 pick to go out and grab a quarterback in the next 3 years. One that's going to be a franchise caliber. I don't know that I get rid of him. I know it's the hot take that everyone wants to say, trade Garoppolo for a pick. I just don't know if that's the smartest
thing. We've heard his wife say that she wants him to retire. Happy wife, happy life. But he's been pretty open about saying...
She wanted him done now.
But... He's been pretty open about saying, I'm sorry, I really want to play. I really want to compete. I'm not so sure that he's going to retire before. I have a feeling he'll be past his prime before he'll have one bad year. I think he'll have one okay year before he retires. I really believe that.
Yeah, I mean,
because I think the fall is going to come a lot quicker than you think. I think people are thinking the digress is just, it's going to be a slow, like a slow fall to his retirement. I think it's going to be a lot quicker than you think.
Well, that's why I said 3 years. Because, I mean, he played out of his mind this year because he had something to prove to a lot of people. And he had, you know, and we know how Brady is. I mean, after being drafted so late, look, he's played with a chip on his shoulder his whole career. Roger Goodell gave him another reason to have another chip. So, you know, what's his motivation next year? You know, I'm sure he'll be motivated and find a reason. But I think after that second year removed from now, and then that's when you, like, I could see the end of this, you know, what, 40? Because he's 38 now, right?
He's 39, I think.
I thought he was 38. But in 2 years, I could see the end of that, you know, 2019 season, him starting to go down. And then,
yeah,
you know,
he's 39.
That's what I thought. Here's my thing on the flip side of Garoppolo, okay? Did you not learn your lesson, too? You got to be damn sure this is the guy. Because if you thought the sample size was small on Osweiler, by the way, Patrick Creighton is the loudest man on the planet.
Can you really hear that?
That's just Patrick Creighton in the hallway.
Is the door closed?
Oh, yeah.
It's closed.
And he's coming on the air right now.
Screaming.
Yep.
I heard. Golly.
Okay, so like I was saying before, Patrick Creighton, not only could interrupt us on the air through a door in our studio.
Barry is going out to take care of
it.
That's hilarious.
But my big thing on Garoppolo is, if you thought the sample size was small when you're talking about what they were willing to pull the trigger on for Osweiler, how about the fact that the sample size is even smaller for Garoppolo? So someone's got to know something. And if the Patriots know he's good, you don't think I don't think either Belichick would want to let him get away, because it just seems like it's slim pickings lately at the quarterback position. And you want – look, they have set the bar very high for where they expect to play every year.
Well, I don't know what Belichick is thinking, because to me, I don't think he would be thinking that, but that's why I bring it up. Like, who over there is raising their hand and going, hey, Bill, I know you think you can win with anyone, and I know you don't think you have to, quote, hang on to talent because you're the greatest coach of all time and can, you know, win with whoever's back there. But have we ever considered that we're going to need a replacement for Brady in a few years, and this might be the guy? That's why everyone wants him. So I don't know that Belichick is thinking that way, because I think Belichick's kind of like Brady, but as a coach, where, like, it doesn't matter who you put out there. I'm going to run my system, and we're going to win.
Which has a good argument, because if you look at players who have won in the New England system, Matt Castle.
They've done squat.
Boyer.
Mallett. Mallett, yep.
You keep going, and then you look at I think he feels the same way about his coaching staff. Because you look at when McDaniel went and coached the Broncos, okay.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien, okay. And they're supposed to be quarterback whisperers. That hasn't panned out. So you might be right, too, that Belichick just believes no matter who he puts back there, they can win. He did it last year with three different quarterbacks.
Yeah. An interesting point. Is Bill O'Brien one of the most successful guys as a head coach to come under the Belichick tree?
Well, he and McDaniels both got to the playoffs and won a first-round playoff game.
Yeah. I'd have to go back and look at the whole tree and see.
Are you really playing Kiss, Dr. Love, which is a fantastic song, by the way? Well
this
done.
This is a dumb song.
You don't like it?
No.
Oh, man. See, you know why? Because I like it.
No, because I don't like Kiss. Never been a Kiss fan.
Oh, man,
ever
when I was growing up
life.
As a kid, come on, man. We were all Kiss fans. Good stuff.
Kiss out of the rotation for Barry.
No. I mean, you can play it.
No, I'm joking.
If Joel and you guys love it, that's great.
I'm definitely playing a song you don't like, for sure.
He prefers Beth. If you played Beth by Kiss, it would be more Barry style.
The hell does that mean?
You'll find out. Hey, okay. We got much more show to go. We're right here, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4. Continue to roll along. Did a little research.
Yeah.
Our
crack team of researchers.
Barry Morey over here.
And by crack team of researchers, I mean me.
Yeah, of course. But we're talking about ass crack, not like sharp, if you really want to get down to it. But you investigated a little further on the Belichick coaching tree. Let's just say it's not quite that of one Bill Walsh.
No, like they talk about Cornell had a 325 winning percentage in his five seasons as a coach. Mangini was 33-47. McDaniels finished 11-17. Combined, they were 72-119 with a 378 winning percentage. And they go through some others. Charlie Weiss. Now, you know, you say all this, and what I was saying is, in as far as the NFL goes, because obviously Nick yes. Saban comes from the coaching tree of Bill Belichick, and he's the greatest of all time college football. But even he didn't do well at Miami when he was there.
Right.
And ran back to the college ranks. But Bill O'Brien is the only one to have a winning record that comes from under that tree. So he was 15-9 at at Penn State, and he's been 9-7 the last 3 years. So I think it's safe to say that, yes, the answer is yes, Bill O'Brien is the best coach, NFL head coach, to come from the Bill Belichick coaching
tree. And the moral of the story is, be careful when you're hanging out under that tree that you get a little low-hanging fruit.
Well, and be careful about going in and getting quarterbacks that you think are going to be the answer. Like
quarterbacks
we said,
and coaches.
Hoyer, Mallett, yeah. These guys are – that's why this talk – I mean, I hear people in Houston – whenever I see a listener or people out there, they'll ask about Garoppolo, and I'm like, I wouldn't do it.
When do people start clamoring for Jacoby Brissett? Because he'll
Once
be next.
Garoppolo's not
yeah, exactly
option.
Right. He yeah. will be next.
Yeah.
Crazy as it may sound. Guy, you want to talk about a Garoppolo trade? Guy, what's up?
Hey, with the Garoppolo thing, I understand that when you guys were talking about Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, I think that's a little different situation because with Rodgers, when they drafted him, they let him start before his rookie deal was up. Garoppolo's got 1 year left. So if you're looking at keeping him, you're going to have to pay the kid, which means if you're looking at keeping him even as Brady's backup, you're going to have to backload that deal so much that it might not be worth it if he's not good.
Well, the key, too, is Rodgers was a late first rounder, Garoppolo a second rounder, so therefore you don't have any of the guarantees, as the guarantees are not the same and the money is minimal compared to what it was for a first-round pick. Rodgers, they knew they were going to lose because it was going to expire, which is the reason why it was put up or shut up time, and they had to do something. But also, let me state, just from the people that I know and the people that were in and close to that situation, Favre, as Barry said, was never going to have the Brady farewell send-off by staying a Packer his whole life. He had burnt enough bridges, doing enough things that had rubbed people the wrong way that they basically were ready to move on. Because they were afraid that they were losing control of their franchise because Brett was running everything. Brady doesn't have that problem in New England.
And also, as a point to what you're asking about, Guy, you could still sign Garoppolo now to a longer-term deal after next year, mm-hmm. after 2017, and it would still be cheaper than if when you're forced to sign him. In other words, you can get him at a bargain, especially if you think he is the replacement, by signing him now or at the end of 2017 to a 5-year deal. You're going to get 2 or 3 years out of him at a value, especially if he becomes a really good starter. So I still don't think it's out of the question that they hang on to him just because his contract is expiring. Otherwise, people wouldn't be clamoring to go and get him.
That's a great point. And here's the thing. We have to talk about this now to figure it out. Guy, thanks for the call. Are we going to make this list and stick to it? Because if we don't talk about Oakley, Romo, Garoppolo,
trading JJ,
it's all-star break in the NBA, kids. And baseball just started.
I'm fine.
We are going to be searching TMZ.
Here's the thing. I am fine if we want to talk about that, but just understand, and I'm not talking to you, but it just may be one of those things where it's like, yeah, I've already said it 1,000 times. There's only so many ways to say, yeah, it would make sense for Romo to come to the Texans for both sides.
I also
think, what else is there? If there was a different spin on it, I'd love to chat about it. But I'm sure even the listeners are going to get sick of hearing about the same, because I'm sure they hear it on John
and Sean. I think it's lazy
and,
radio at some point because of the fact that you don't have anything else and you just keep going back and tapping that resource.
Yeah.
Let's, we try to keep it fresh. That's what I said all
along. Right. We can always talk porn.
Well, exactly.
Mia Khalifa is out there.
I knew my boy
and
Nick
JJ's
would be in on
out
that.
There. And we know that JJ, he tries to make up for his mistakes. So when he brings up someone that people think are a little outdated, boy, does he bring it real on the personal tweets after that.
Southeast Texas Sports said, do you think the San Diego Zoo Gorilla would play better than Brock? I'm not reading that.
And Barry won't say that went from the gorilla exhibit over to the giraffes.
And then here, see, this is why
that's what you don't like.
Look, Jacob, what about Mark Sanchez? He's proven and he's better than Brock. No. What do you know?
He had the butt fumble, Jacob.
Yeah, I don't think that they need to go out and get someone to settle for. I get Romo. He's a good risk.
But can I shock you in the fact that Mark Sanchez I'm not going to shocker you. That's something you do on Sunday mornings. that he went to 2 AFC championship games.
Who's that?
Mark Sanchez.
Mm. Yeah, well, Tebow.
Does that surprise you, though?
Tebow won a playoff.
I know, but doesn't
game.
That surprise you, Mark Sanchez and the Jets? Because it's like the whole Matt Schaub thing. All people want to remember
is the bad stuff.
Is the pick sixes. Yeah. But they forget the first 5.5 years where he was actually pretty damn good.
It's like my ex. I always remember the bad stuff and not the time when. There was no good stuff.
Okay,
never mind.
Thank God, because otherwise don't do that.
Can I just, I forgot, I had one note on the Rockets, and this is, I mean, don't laugh at me.
This time? Wait, Barry's funny. Go ahead.
But the whole night, I couldn't get out of my head. Every time they would call Rodney Magruder,
yeah,
all I could think about was MacGruber, the movie. Am I the only one?
MacGruber, no, I've never watched it.
It's either. It's a like a spoof on MacGyver, but it's called MacGruber. Ah. And then they would talk about Rodney Magruder, and I was just like, that would be pretty sweet if it was. Because it's the same thing with McGloin. I always want to call him Pat McGroin.
Okay. Pat pulled his groin last night, by the way.
So maybe I'm just childish. I get it. I'm totally childish. But that's things that go through my head when I watch sports.
More breaking news that's going to break the hearts of Daryl Morey and the boys at the Big Sequoia. One of their favorites, one of their guys that they always rumored to bring back into the fold, Shane Battier. Not going to happen. Today, the Miami Heat announced joining their basketball operations department and analytics, Shane Battier. As Shane has said, he is thrilled and excited to join the front office of the Miami Heat.
I won't pin it on you and say smartest ever. Top five smartest players you've ever met or been around?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah, I mean,
I would have to say.
You know, his ex-teammate was in the cabinet for President Obama. And that qualifies as pretty smart. And everybody always said, and we always joked with Shane, but literally, if he wanted a career in politics, he could have it. People said if he wanted a career in coaching, he could have it. And people said because of his intelligence with the numbers and the cap and all that other stuff, he always was dabbling and talking to the guys about it, that he could do it. And good for him. He still has his house down in Florida, in South Florida. He gets to stick close to home. Yeah. And work for a team that he played for. So good for Shane.
All right. Can I bring up something next segment?
Of course you can.
All right. Then I want to know, how much would you pay for a Tom Brady autograph? Don't answer. Wait till I want to, because I tell you what, not what he's asking. It's insane.
You are such a tease.
It's insane.
Son. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I'm going to add fuel to your fire because Josh Rapp, friend of the show.
Yeah, did you?
Until tomorrow. Chimes in. Now Barry is making terrible puns. Thanks, Joel.
#thanks, Joel. Yeah.
There you go.
What pun did I make?
I don't know, but it's gaining
steam. I don't know.
Steam.
Josh, I want to know what pun it was. I want to get like a copy of it and put it in my best of archive. I want to know it because it was probably really good. Not like Joel's puns. You know I'm just messing with you.
I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jeremy May said, hey, memo to the Texans. Vince Young is attempting a comeback. QB help is out there. Jeremy, I will not allow this. I will not allow you to do this, my man.
Well, but ESPN's doing it for you because every time we look at the TV screen, the highlight for Vince Young that they keep showing when they keep reiterating the story is when they beat the Texans in overtime, and radio voices that remain nameless got more excited than when his own quarterback scored.
Makes me sick. Okay, so before the break, I asked you guys, how much would you pay for a Tom Brady autograph? I want to know. What would you pay?
Reasonably priced.
Yeah, you know the value. Okay.
So I'm going to abstain.
Nick, do you know? What he's asking?
No, I don't know.
What would you pay, like, realistically for a Tom Brady autograph?
Dude, I'm a cheap dude. I mean, I probably say $100 would probably be my threshold.
Okay. All right.
Honestly.
Yeah. I'm with you. Okay. I might pay $50 to $100 for his autograph, but he's working with TriStar, and he is charging $4.99. So he's charging $500 to sign a trading card. And he's charging up game used items up to $2,000 for game used items. And it's like they said his signed helmets and jerseys are going for like $1,000 a piece.
I'm assuming they wouldn't do it if they couldn't get it. If you want it
personalized, like to Nick, you know, love your outfit or something like that. It's $4.99 for 20 characters. So yeah.
But doesn't that devalue?
It does. If you plan on buying it to resell it, it does.
Yeah.
I would not.
I know those guys at TriStar. I know the two guys that own the company.
Okay.
Do you?
They were ecstatic because they've worked with Brady for years. They were ecstatic that the Patriots won the Super Bowl. But at the same time, I'm sure his business guys got involved and said, okay, well, that was Tom before he's done, added this last Super Bowl to the mix and now solidified his status as the greatest of all time. Prices just went up. And you really have no choice because it's not like you can go out and say, well, then I'm going to go to, you know, it's like if Nike sold a shoe that was too expensive and you went, oh, I'm going to go try what Adidas has. There's no other option. Tom is Tom and that's what you get. So he can pretty much dictate his price. And it's crazy, but that's the name of the game. And here's the other thing people don't realize with this whole autograph game, there's one of two ways to look at it. You're either a good enough player that the price you're gonna that's an outlet for you at any time for you to cash in. Like say, Nick, you said, you know, you're kind of frugal with your money sometimes. So if you're a big time athlete and you're frugal with your money, but you want to take a vacation for All-Star break, for NBA, let's say, right? Right before the break, if you get your people in contact with an autograph company and say, I'm gonna go into a room for you and sign, you're going to get thousands of dollars. Your vacation is basically going to be paid for.
Nuts.
So instead of paying for it, you just say, well, I'll just go sign in a room for it. And it used to become a running joke. I was with guys that used to lose a lot of money gambling. Mm. And the next, within 2 days, they'd be laughing, going, I'm just recouping what I lost gambling. And I'm like, how the heck are you doing that? It's easy, man. I just called up X autograph company. They've been after me for a while. They decided to set up a ballroom for me, give me all the food and drink that I want. I gave them a half day. They write me a check at the end of the day for tens of thousands of dollars, if not more.
And I don't know if we mentioned this on our show yet, but I don't know if you know, O.J. Simpson is up for parole, I think, in July, this summer.
Okay.
So if he gets out, and people are saying, well, how is he going to contribute to society? I think that's exactly how he can make money.
That's what put him in jail the last time, because someone took some of his signed
stuff. And he went into a Las Vegas hotel and tried to steal it.
Right.
Well, that's what, you know. He's tried to steal it back, so I think that's what put him in jail. So the guy's still famous for all the wrong reasons, but he's still famous. He's definitely going to make a living off autographs, I think.
I'd take one black glove in there and be like, OJ, will you sign this?
Well, how about to what you said about Brady? And I was going to mention it at the time.
Would you sign my knife?
I was going to mention it at the time, but this makes even more sense. So when you said game-worn stuff, he's charging more. So what if you put in front of him the game-worn jersey from the Super Bowl that's missing, and in the 20 words or less, he has to write, yep, that's right, this is the one that got it done, Tom Brady. Boom. I don't care if you paid $2,000. Now you've got a $500,000 investment on your hands.
Yeah, that would be worth some money.
That'd be really hard.
And please don't put awesome, to Jerry, because I don't need that.
Here's the thing is that they said that in the article that you don't even get to meet him. Like, you're just he'll be in a room with TriStar reps.
Yep, I've seen it
signing stuff, and you don't so you're not paying $500 to be like, oh hey Tom, I'm a big fan. Your eyes are dreamy. Thanks for signing my football card. No,
if they're smart, they'll do a VIP line. Hey, if you want to really meet him, it's an extra.
I wonder how much. So that's what they do.
Hey, by the way, $300. Do we know if Johnny Manziel ever had his signing at the Woodlands?
That's a great question.
A great question.
Because didn't he wreck a car or something like that during Super Bowl week?
I heard. I believe I had heard somewhere that I think it was called off because of something the week of.
I think AJ showed me a picture of a wrecked car and was like, Johnny Football, or Jonathan Football as AJ calls him. And I don't remember exactly what happened, but something happened with the dude. And I don't know if they had it anymore because we were going to go up there and troll him. But that would be interesting to see because, dude, if he can pull in money, then.
Mm. So with the TriStar thing and the way shows, autograph companies do shows, and TriStar just had theirs here last weekend. What they do, Nick, is the athletes that want to do, they get paid extra, but they will do, it's like, and I've seen this happen, I've been there when they've done some of these things.
Right.
They bring the athlete in through the back door, they sit them down in front of, say, 500 items. There's someone that's authenticating and someone that's validating every one of the signatures. A lot of times the athletes who, even though they're getting paid this exorbitant amount of money, have a representative from their camp with a clicker, like at a movie theater for attendance, to make sure that they're not getting screwed and signing more autographs than they're supposed to. And then they give them the option or say, we've agreed to this. He's going to go out in public and they're going to announce that, hey, so-and-so is signing for the next hour. And they put it in the newspapers and they advertise it ahead of time. Yeah. And then the athlete will sit there and do a selfie for a certain price, sign an autograph for a certain price, personalize it for a certain price.
In comedy, they do something similar because a lot of big-time comics will get a door deal. So they get to keep the door. So if it's $25 a ticket or $25 a head or whatever, then that's their pay for the weekend. But what they'll have is they'll have a person or their manager or assistant or whatever that during each show, after a certain amount of time, that person will go around and click every head in the room. So a lot of times they won't let comics in because they're like, no, they're going to make us pay for that. Like they would count you as a seat in the room. So when you get guys like that, yeah, they'll go around, count the whole audience and say, and then keep track of that for the week. And then, tally up at the end after that. So
I've gotten Caliendo to sign two of his CDs, but he didn't charge anything.
No, comics usually don't charge. Yeah. They're just glad you're buying their merchandise.
Yeah.
In fact, that's a lot of people don't know that. That's how comics make a majority of their money is off merchandise. So if you really love a comic, the best thing you could do, obviously go to their show, but buy something from them at the end of the show if they're selling something. That's the way you support a comic.
Yeah. I did that. I mean, I bought two of his CDs. He signed both of them. He was actually a good dude. That was back before he got the whole national TV gig.
Chase Tanner said, my best of vault is empty like his bank account. Thanks, Joel.
And then Christian said, after he signs the one that got it done, Brady, would he put Sun at the end? And I said, no, Barry signs that at the end of all of his shows.
Absolutely. I'm trying to see if we got any good stuff. No. We got a text from 409. Johnny Football did do his signing at the Woodlands. He had a grill in his mouth.
There you go again.
Whatever
happened to you screening these things?
Hold on. At first, I thought he said he had a girl in his mouth.
Oh, boy.
My dyslexia got me. Yeah. He had a grill in his mouth, which is completely different and a little more acceptable in public. Not much, mind you. The grills are gone. We need to stop. He probably has spinning rims. Wow. He probably has spinning rims still, too. So, apparently he signed with a grill in his mouth. So there, he had to pay for the car damage.
So maybe we can investigate that during the break and find out if we can find any more legitimacy to whether Johnny made one or both of his signing sessions that week.
Yeah.
It's a shame you weren't there because we could have pulled. That would have been a good stunt.
That would have been fun. Yeah. I peaked at 19 was what we were going to go with.
Is that the one?
Yeah, we were going to have him sign a mugshot that said, I peaked at 19.
What did I say we were going to do?
We got that from a listener.
Yeah, remember the one I said was,
no.
Yeah, I hit her?
I don't remember. We had settled like on, I peaked at 19, though. Yeah. No. It would have been perfect.
Barry's not going to pick because he would never pick the one I chose. But I get that. It's fine. It's all part of the deal.
I'm sorry, dear.
I think that was the other one we had. All right, we got one segment to go before we turn it over to Fred and AJ in the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Oh, when it goes too fast, too far, and too fun, the show goes quickly. So we are in our final segment before we turn it over to the baseball-laden Blitz, who is quickly thinking about changing their name for the summer to Extra Innings. Before we do so, we like to kind of span the globe and touch on a lot of different stories that we may have found that may or may not have something to do with sports, but you might find interesting and or a little crazy or absurd. Because of that type of topic, we always turn it over first and foremost to Barry.
Yeah, so here's this actually blew my mind to know that this can even go on. But Kim Jong-un reportedly, and you got to say that.
Or
but
allegedly.
Come on.
Allegedly.
Reportedly had his brother killed because he posted too many pictures on Facebook. And his brother looks like he's the brother of a dictator. But the crazy part is, so this dude was killed. He was poisoned by two female operatives in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And the crazy part is one of the operatives wore a shirt that said LOL on it. Like it literally, she just had a laugh out loud shirt on, just walking around murdering folks. Just like, murder's funny, right? Like
that is a sick, crazy dude over there you do not want to mess with.
No, I wouldn't want to go, but you got to have mad respect for someone that would wear an LOL shirt while they're out murdering people.
Murdering your half-brother.
Yeah, because...
That's like killing Mike from Get Me.
I don't like you.
Right, well, it's now. On Twitter it's if not, you need to see it.
Yeah, there's pictures out there. We look nothing alike.
Yes, you do.
I look smart. He looks handsome. We look nothing alike.
He's a little skinnier than you are, though. Go ahead. Next story.
You're such a... well, I know how much AJ...
I learned from you.
Yeah, it's true. I couldn't be more proud of you,
Thank
by the way.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. I appreciate that.
I know how much AJ enjoyed us talking baseball leading into their show.
Yeah, we had to hear about it.
Because everyone loves baseball so much. But I ran across this story on NBC Sports about Carter Capps, who he's having surgery. But that's not the real story. The story is his delivery, which I had never seen before. But this dude off the mountain, and I'm going to retweet this, and it's on the San Diego Padres Twitter. If you just go to @Padres, you can find it somewhere from one of their tweets. But, dude, like, in his windup, he crow hops not once but twice off the rubber.
It's like a double pump.
Yeah, before he, like when
in basketball.
We were talking about this Sunday about pass for kick. Did you ever play
punt,
like
pass
street
and
ball?
Kick.
Yeah. Well, no, you would do P for K, right?
Yep.
You didn't. No one ever kicked the ball. You'd just throw it.
Yep.
And you know how you'd run and kind of take two or three jumps before you threw it?
Yeah.
That's exactly what he does off the rubber, and it's the strangest thing. That's what the article says, is how is it legal? And they looked it up, and essentially, as long as you don't do that towards a runner on a base, but you're doing it towards the batter, it's totally legal. Like, at first he was getting, they were saying it was illegal in the minors, but then he had to go forth and show people the rule book that says it's okay, that you can literally push off the rubber and hop towards the plate.
So I was always under the understanding when I pitched my whole career that you always had to have your foot connected to the rubber until the actual release of the baseball. Well, this basically says, why aren't people starting on the rubber and then sprinting at the batter and at the last possible minute letting it fly?
Well, here's the thing, and I don't want to like bore everybody by reading it, but I'll read you this specifically because it says, because the rules about where your feet are with respect to the rubber in the stretch, picking them up off the rubber once you come set, only deal with motion towards a base runner in the intent to deceive him in an effort to pick him off. Capps was told by MLB that as long as he's moving forward towards the batter and not getting too much air, and that's the key, not getting too much air, he's okay, that it's legal. So go check my Twitter, @BarryIsFunny. I tweeted out the video of it. It's pretty weird.
So basically, you could do a basketball slide step and just keep sliding towards the plate let the bad boy go as long as you started on the rubber and you didn't jump too high.
Yeah, like one motion.
You guys have to see this tweet of this video, too, because it is – I've seen him pitch before, and at the time I remember thinking, is that legal? But it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I thought he was a Brewer. He's a Padre.
I think I told you.
He's a Padre. And, pretty insane, man.
Which is the only reason why you read the story, because if he was a Brewer
– I would have never touched it. Never. Not in your wildest dreams.
On the cutting room floor again. Yeah.
Right. Another story I saw.
Yes.
So, you know, I didn't even know this was a thing, but apparently 50 Shades Darker is a movie out following up on 50 Shades of Grey.
I believe I saw a trailer for it.
I'm so glad. You know you've seen it.
I've never seen any of them.
You know you drew a bubble
bath. First of all, here's the thing.
Read the book.
Not only have I never seen them or read the book, but thank God my wife hasn't either, because she'd be just like me.
She'd be disappointed with you.
No, she'd be like, sure, I'm living that dream and then some, so why do I even bother dabbling in that literature?
Well, I'm going to retweet this as well, but this dude works at a cinema, and he tweets, he's holding a... it just says, this is what the tweet says, that awkward moment when you find a cucumber in the cinema after a 50 Shades session.
Wow, really?
Look, now, I know there's some nasty-ass ladies out there, but that's going...
That's not raunchy. A salad bar in the dining area. That's a movie theater.
That's horrible.
Boy.
How do you not... Look, I think we've all can agree that we've probably done the old, you know, thing in the popcorn trick at least once. No.
No. You're on your own on that one. Right?
I always did it. I always did it, but I always go to the movies by myself, so no big deal.
American Pie with Barry Laminack. This is the follow-up book.
If you go to the movies by yourself and still fall for the D in the popcorn trick, that says something about you right there.
Following up to the sequel, Living in a Litter Box and Extra Crap, is the number one bestseller from Barry Laminack.
I just thought, man, there's some crazy nasty people.
But a freaking cucumber, man. Like, really? Yeah.
That's not butter in my popcorn.
In the cinema?
No, at least it wasn't an eggplant. Like, that's what I think.
Oh boy,
that's like the emoji, right? That's what everyone uses the eggplant emoji to symbolize, is a penis.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
I did not know
that. You got to be hip. You got to be...
Joel's not really into the emoticons.
Another AJ story, by the way, coming out of Red Sox camp. We're hearing Pablo Sandoval reported to camp in the 240s, quote unquote.
Is that 40 good for him?
Pounds less.
Oh,
40
wow.
pounds less than his peak weight last season. When they asked him about it, he said, I don't focus on the scale.
Sure you don't. Sure you don't.
I take negativity out of my life, and so I don't focus on the scale.
Oh, my buddy Connor said, dude actually found two in the same theater.
Ugh. Yikes.
That's terrible. I would quit. Debbie? I would literally stop
Debbie?
Working.
Yeah, Linda. Want to stop by the veggie aisle and then go to the movies? What are we doing?
Instead of metal detectors, now they're going to have to pat everybody down for vegetables. They're just like, all right, ladies, we got to do a bag check. Oh, what is this? What is this, ma'am? That's so bad.
Oh, the all toys right. we
That's
play.
That's what I found. All right. Now you guys know what I Google.
I don't want to know any more than that. Thank you. Hey, before we wrap it up, I want to tell you about my good friend Mattress Mac and Gallery Furniture, because you know, and I tell you all the time, I'm always about locally owned and operated businesses that do well for the people of Houston. Nobody does it better than Jim McInvale, Mattress Mac and Gallery Furniture. Three locations now across the Houston area, one on Grand Parkway between Sugarland and Katy for those of you on the south side. One of you in the know, if you're in the downtown area by the Galleria, Westheimer at Post Oak is the perfect location for you. And the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker, you get to Gallery Furniture. Matter of fact, that Tidwell Parker location, Mac sits right there at the front desk and guarantees he will get you a great price on American-made solid wood furniture and anything else you're interested in. If you see it and you want it today, you get it today. There's no back order slips, and he'll make sure you're a return customer because his customer service is second to none. He swears by it, he lives by it, and he actually runs his business by it because he wants you to be customers over and over again at Gallery Furniture. So if you want American-made dining room furniture, solid room tables and chairs, they have it. If you want American-made solid wood living room furniture, they have it, as well as two-for-one recliners, Macapedic sleep sets. And by the way, on the Macapedic sleep sets, they start at $19.99, but you get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card right off the top. Go see my man Mac at one of the three locations for Gallery Furniture. But, of course, you know the mainstay right there, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker. No back quarter slips. You buy today, get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.